The first atomic clock revolutionised how we tell the time, and even today our clocks are modelled on Louis Essen's creation. But since then, they've dramatically improved in accuracy. In fact, now only once in every 160 million years will these clocks gain or lose the odd second. So if they're so accurate, why do we need to keep adding a leap second to our atomic clocks? Well, Peter Wibberley is from the National Physical Laboratory. He's with us. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Chris.
First of all, let's look at the atomic clocks we have today. How do they differ from what Louis Essen invented?
Well, the clocks we use today, the primary standards that we still use to measure the second, are still based on cesium atoms, but they're rather different to the type of clock that Essen built. In Essen's clock, we had an oven forming a beam of cesium atoms which shoot through the microwave enclosure. In today's clocks, we use lasers to slow down cesium atoms from a vapour, form a cloud of slowly moving cesium atoms, and then we use the lasers to throw that cloud upwards through the microwave enclosure. The atoms then carry on rising and fall back under gravity through the cavity a second time, and that gives a much longer measurement time, a much longer interaction between the atoms and the microwaves of around half a second. And this longer interaction gives us a much more precise measurement of the frequency and therefore a more stable clock.
And it's that opportunity to engage with them for longer, meaning that we make a more accurate and more precise measurement of their state.
That's right. The longer time you have to make a measurement, then the more precisely you can measure an energy, or a frequency in this case.
Why do we need amazingly good clocks like this? Because one in 160 million years, as in 1 second being added or taken away every 160 million years, do we really need that level of accuracy and precision?
There's certainly applications that would benefit hugely from these new types of clock. And there's a lot of work going on around the world to develop these optical clocks which will surpass the cesium clocks in their performance.
Now, if these clocks are so accurate and precise, why do we have all this problem with leap seconds then? Why do we need to add these seconds periodically? This is the, 26th leap second, isn't it, now, this year?
That's right, 26th since 1972 when they were first introduced. And the reason we need them is that, in fact, the Earth is not a very good timekeeper. It speeds up and slows down unpredictably. And over time, we find that our very precise time based on atomic clocks slowly diverges from the time based on the Earth's rotation, from mean solar time. And to keep the two in step, we have to occasionally put a 1 second step into the atomic timescale, just to let the Earth catch up with the atomic clocks. And this is called a leap second.
Ah, right, so there's nothing wrong with our timekeeping apparatus, it's that our planet can't keep time properly.
The Earth, in fact, is not a very good timekeeper. It's a million times poorer than the cesium fountains at keeping time.
What do people think internationally about the concept of the leap second? Because does it really make a very big difference?
That's an interesting question, and there's been a big debate going on now for around 15 years as to whether we really do need leap seconds. Should we just base our time purely on atomic clocks and just break the link with the Earth's rotation? There's no agreement internationally. Some countries favour ending leap seconds because they do cause problems. Some software in particular has great difficulty handling leap seconds, and the simplest solution is simply to end them. But other countries say it's important to maintain the traditional link between timekeeping and the Earth's rotation, and are arguing we should keep leap seconds at least until we understand much better the long-term consequences of ending them.
So where do you sit in the argument?
Well, I'm part of the UK's delegation at this grand meeting that will discuss the issue in November this year. So it's my job to argue the UK's position. But from a personal point of view, I don't have any strong sympathies one way or the other. They're both very good arguments. And the problem is, there's no compromise position. You either keep leap seconds or you end them. And whatever happens, it's going to be very interesting.
And the UK is for keeping it?
The UK government's considered the issue, and its view is we should maintain this traditional link between our timekeeping and the Earth's rotation.
And if we do decide to go with the counter argument and we ditch the leap second, what might be the consequence?
In the short term, not a great deal. The divergence between our atomic time and the Earth's rotation would slowly accumulate, but it would take maybe 100 years to reach 1 minute difference, and maybe 1,000 years to build up to a 1 hour difference. So within a normal lifetime, we wouldn't notice a huge difference. But over the longer term, the rate of divergence increases more and more. And so we have to do something to correct this difference between atomic time and Earth time, and there's no real agreement at the moment as to how that should be done. And the UK government is certainly arguing that we should understand the long-term consequences better before we make such a fundamental change.
So anyone contemplating living for 1,000 years or so, this might be an issue for you, so set your alarm clock accordingly. That was Peter Wibberley. He's from the National Physical Laboratory. That nearly wraps up the programme. Thank you very much to our other studio guests this week, Peter Cowley and Alexei Baker.